It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
All right. Good morning. Scott Luton here with you live on Supply Chain Now Radio. Welcome to the show. Today, we're broadcasting once again from the headquarters of the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance. Today's show is the latest installment in one of our newest series, Today in Manufacturing. We've even created a show page, todayinmanufacturing.com, if you want to go straight to the show and learn more. And of course, listen live. We've got a red button there. Make it really easy. We're pleased to be partnering with the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance to make the series happen. And of course, we love spotlighting some of the great stuff happening in one of the key segments of the end-to-end supply chain, of course, the manufacturing industry. So we are also excited to be partnering with IntelliTrans on this series as well. IntelliTrans has been a world-class provider of supply chain visibility over the last 25 years, amongst other things, helping its customers reduce transportation spend significantly. So we welcome their sponsorship of both shows today. We're going to be doing one here now and one at 2:30. I think we're going to be offering a wide variety of best practices, thought leadership, and critical insights to our listeners through today's shows. So friendly reminder, you can find our Supply Chain Now Radio replays on a variety of channels, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, one of the latest ones we've added, and of course our premier distribution partners at Business Radio X. As always, we'd love to have you subscribe so you don't miss anything. So let's say hello to my very talented co-host, Jason Moss, founder and CEO of the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance. Jason, how you doing?
Man, I'm doing great today. I'm excited about this show.
We are too. This is our second month of our Today in Manufacturing show. We had a dynamite show last month, and I think we're teed up to continue that trend here this morning and this afternoon. I should also note that one of our sponsors is Apex Atlanta, which is a sponsor of the enterprise that is Supply Chain Now Radio. And Jason, of course, serves on our executive advisory board for that as well. So appreciate your leadership. All right. So let's welcome today's featured guests, Jason. We've got two home run guests here today. First up, Ken Sherman, Vice President and General Manager of IntelliTrans. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
We're glad to have you. We're going to talk more about this in a minute, but IntelliTrans is the largest provider of rail visibility. We kind of talked about this on the intro here. In the North America market alone, the company manages the movement of 650,000 rail cars a month, which is about 40% of the North American market. That's pretty impressive. And we're going to pick your brain a lot more around that later in the show. So thanks for being here, Ken.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right. And also, Laurence L. Hyman, Supply Chain Manager with Newell Brands. Good morning, Laurence L.
Good morning. Good morning.
We are glad to have you. It's been a while since we last reconnected, and great to have you here, being able to share your insights and thought leadership. And to our listeners, you know, we're all very familiar with some of the companies that make up Newell Brands, from Elmer's Glue, right? My three kids know that one very well. Sharpie, which is the world-famous writing utensil. I go through dozens of those a week. Graco Baby Products, the Coleman line of camping outdoor equipment. So a ton of great consumer products
Absolutely.
That make up Newell Brands.
Absolutely.
So, great to have you here today.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right. So, Jason, before we dive into the interviews with Ken and Laurence L., we're going to share some of the top things known in supply chain now.
Okay. Perfect. All right.
So, if you do not get the logistics market snapshot produced by our fine friends over at the Georgia Center of Innovation for Logistics, you need to sign up. It is usually monthly. 11, 12.
Full of great content. Yeah,
absolutely. Data-driven content that if you're especially, they kind of, as the name suggests, it's really built for logistics professionals, but they also offer some broader economic indicators that business folks and supply chain need to know. But if you haven't signed up, you need to sign up for that. In the latest one, which was from April, three or so weeks ago, they talked about the Norfolk Southern PSR initiative, Precision
right.
Scheduled
yep.
Railroading, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just a few months, quoting their snapshot, quote, just a few months after presenting its plan to implement the principles of precision scheduled railroading by 2021, Norfolk Southern is confident that strategy is already working. The railroad has decreased dwell time by 23% year over year, and maybe Ken can elaborate more about what that is in a second. I've got my own guesses. And increasing train speed by 14%. So things are moving faster, and I guess there's less sitting around is my guess here on dwell time. So these two elements have contributed to the goal of improving overall efficiency at the railroad. So it was a big gamble,
right?
Big transformation project, and it's good to see that they've had some early wins and early gains.
Mm-hmm.
And you can learn a lot more at the with the Georgia Logistics Snapshot. You should get that every month. A lot of information there you can act on and gain insights from. All right, so from Atlanta to Phoenix.
Right.
You ready
yep.
to make the trip here with me?
Well, I like Atlanta a lot, but Phoenix, I guess, if we're going to go somewhere, we'll go there.
All right, so in Phoenix, Gartner just wrapped up its popular supply chain conference last week, I believe it was. And as part of that, the organization released its really popular 15th annual Global Supply Chain Top 25.
Right.
So we all love our lists, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking in the warm-up. It's not college football season yet, so we don't have that to argue about. But really, it's very well done. It's not just rankings, but there's a ton of analysis that goes into all the benchmarking, and they do a great job in producing the summary of offering some of their key takeaways.
Right.
So the report identified three key findings as the most common trends among leading supply chains. So first off was personalization at scale.
Mm-hmm.
So to give you a good example, if you're kind of, what does that exactly mean? Well, let's give you an example. L'Oreal Lancome, a leading cosmetics business, which is ranked this year number 15 on the top 25 list. They're using flexible local manufacturing and agile logistics to enable a 48-hour delivery of foundation makeup. Now, on its face, that's like, well, this is the Amazon era. That's to be expected.
Of course.
However, the makeup, Jason, is designed to specifically match the consumer's skin tone and skin structure. So it.
I think I could probably use a little of that.
So it's customized.
And I need it in a hurry.
You know,
48 hours. That matters.
It's really neat. And that's the era we live in. So that personalization at scale, a lot of companies are trying to figure that out, how to offer that to their customers. The second key finding was leveraging ecosystems.
Mm-hmm.
And not to dive into that more, but basically how can you corporations and companies partner with a wide variety of stakeholders in their ecosystem to create opportunity for all. So that's mm-hmm. been a big trend. And then thirdly, as we can all at this table, you know, we probably hear more about this than perhaps any other supply chain trend right now, which is digitization, right?
Right.
So key trend there, they've identified the third of the three trends driving business-led digital strategies and how leading organizations are making sure those align well with the supply chain organization within mm-hmm. The company. So, so to the rankings themselves. I think GMA was up at the top.
Of course, yeah.
A supply chain organization. But kidding aside, top tier, so the rankings Gartner had created, we're in its 15th year of the list. So after seeing some companies dominate the top of the rankings, mm-hmm. they decided, okay, let's create a master's category. And,
mm-hmm.
and you
yep.
know, for as long as they're hitting, you know, continuing the excellence, they'll go in that category and then they'll still produce a top 25. So in the top tier master's category, so it's kind of like Jedi's of supply chain. It's what my
right.
7-year-old was talking yeah. about earlier. Apple, P&G, Amazon, as you probably expect, McDonald's, which is interesting, and the newest addition this year, new in the master's category, was Unilever, who's been
okay.
at the top of the list for years. So that's the master's category.
Mm-hmm.
Top five is Colgate Palmolive for the first time in its history. It mm-hmm. hit number one. Inditex, Nestle, PepsiCo, and Cisco Systems. And, of course, Jack Allen with Cisco, who's got a big presence here
yeah.
in Gwinnett. He's been on the show previously. They do some really neat things
mm-hmm.
from a supply chain standpoint, especially I think Cisco was named the number one most sustainable company worldwide just a year or two ago.
Right.
So they're doing some really cool things in that area. And CSR was a big part of the overall formula here. So neat stuff. We love our lists. Check that out at Gartner if you're interested in learning more about the whole top 25 and all the reporting and analysis that goes into that.
Yep, that's good information.
Sounds like good stuff.
Yeah.
All
now,
right.
Now, what's the best way to get to that? Are we going to be able to add that in the show notes?
We will add a direct link to that report
okay.
in the show notes and
Perfect.
Publish it. Everyone likes our One click takes you there, so that's what we'll add. But Gartner does a great job, and we've had a couple of we're still working on a June interview.
Okay.
When we were in Velocity at the Velocity 2019 conference in Florida a month or so ago, we interviewed one of their VPs that is one of the three individuals that really builds this top 25 rankings. Mm-hmm. And we're looking to have him on the show in June to kind of dive more into the rankings and talk about some of their key takeaways with more color commentary.
Fantastic.
So more to come on that, but we'll provide the one-click link, make it easy for everybody. All right, so Jason, we got two great guests, and let's bring them back into the show and dive more and pick their brain a bit on a wide variety of supply chain perspectives. So, again, to remind our audience, we've got Ken Sherman, Vice President and General Manager of IntelliTrans, and Lauren Sell Hyman, Supply Chain Manager at Newell Brands. So, good morning again, gentlemen.
Good morning.
So, before we kind of dive into your organizations and your roles, let's kind of give our viewers, our listeners, no viewers, let's give our listeners a sense of who you are. So, Ken, let's if you could tell us about yourself and your professional journey.
Sure, thank you. Yeah, I'm Ken Sherman, Vice President and General Manager of IntelliTrans. I've been with the company for about 16 years down here in Atlanta. Before that, I was with what used to be GE Plastics. And my last three roles there really prepared me for this because I was running the supply chain for the sheet and film business. I was a master black belt in the quality organization. And then we started up the vendor managed inventory offering there that we then sold to IntelliTrans. That's how I got here today. Okay. So I really like, Atlanta. My wife and met my wife down here and had two children. And so really appreciate being here. And then done the Peachtree 10K. This will be my 10th or 11th year in a row this year.
So what's your best time?
About 41 minutes.
Dang.
Nice.
That is setting the bar.
It's moving it.
Man,
wow.
I'm jealous.
I should have went first.
Well, thanks for being here. And we're going to dive more into some of your supply chain perspective in a second. So, Lauren Sell Hyman, tell us about yourself.
Okay, so I've been with Newell Brands for the past 12 years. Matter of fact, it will be 12 years exactly tomorrow.
Wow. Right. Happy anniversary.
Congratulations. Thank you. So, I graduated from Michigan State in 2007 with my packaging degree. I started off with the Goody business as a packaging engineer, actually. Mm-hmm. So really loved doing packaging. It was really a big passion of mine. And I switched over to supply chain. I remember it like it was yesterday. Mm. When I was with the Goody business, the president, we had monthly meetings every month about the business. And he made sure everyone, regardless of your role, knew about the business, the balance sheet, the top line, bottom line, OI, those type of things. Mm. And very quickly, I knew that, okay, I need to expand a little bit beyond my technical skills and technical knowledge, right? So from there, I got my my MBA from the University of Georgia. And as I was getting my MBA, I started looking at other career paths, and I came across supply chain. And I started to like supply chain. The more I learned about it, it's very exciting. Different things happening all the time. Nothing's the same. Nothing's mundane. So ever since then, I've been going full-fledged supply chain. I've had different roles within Newell of increasing responsibilities. I'm currently on a writing business with Newell.
So Michigan State's a great supply chain and packaging school, for that matter.
Absolutely.
And you don't down here, you don't have to worry about the snow and some of the driving conditions, the cold weather up there, right?
Well, when it does snow one time a year, it's pretty bad. But
it's just on the ground for 3 months, right?
Yeah.
Well, great to have you here, and of course you're a Bulldog with your NBA connection.
Absolutely.
But do you still follow the Spartans in sports?
I call myself a Spartan dog.
Okay, I like that.
Spartans are number one. Dogs are 1A.
Okay. Back to those rankings. Hey, I tell you,
I think Michigan State might be at the top five this year.
Maybe so. All right, so let's shift over into talking more about your organizations. Y'all both touched on that as you kind of introduced yourselves. To Lauren Sell, staying with you. Mm-hmm. As we talked about, most folks, everybody's familiar with at least some of the companies that make up Newell Brands. But tell us more about the organization. And specifically, you were talking just a second ago with as being a supply chain manager. Mm-hmm. There is no day that's like the others, right? You're solving different challenges, different problems. You're leading different projects. So talk to us more about your role in the organization.
Absolutely. So as you mentioned before, if you were to mention Newell Brands to most people, the first thing they would say is, what is a Newell brand? I never heard of Newell Brands, right? We heard of your brands that fall under the umbrella.
Yep.
But, Newell Brands is a leading global consumer goods company, and we're led by collaborative people, and we're powered by advantage capabilities such as design, innovation. We're getting bigger in e-commerce, And we currently have the goals of becoming a simpler and faster and stronger organization. And where I play in that is I play in the supply chain space for our writing business right now. So I manage a team of five wonderful people, and we're just trying to deliver service. It's our number one goal, right? We call it the year of service, right? We're getting back to the basics of delivering service to our customers at the exceptional level that Newell's used to, right? So I'm mainly over our source finished good business, so I do a lot of importing. But at the same time, also support our manufacturing operations here stateside.
That's a lot. Do you get any sleep at night?
No. No. Just had a new baby recently. I have another one on the way. So sleep is a...
Congratulations.
Yeah. It's like 10% of my time is sleep at this point.
I'm a little bit slow sometimes, but formerly the writing business would include like Sharpies.
Yes,
is that right?
Absolutely. Sharpies, Inkjoy gels, Elmer's, even actually Elmer's. Elmer's, that's part of the writing business as well. Okay. Many different brands, as you know, for your Expo markers. Sharpies, as you mentioned before, just put numerous brands up under the writing division.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. All right. So switching gears, Ken, IntelliTrans has been a leading provider of supply chain visibility since 1992. And as we all know, that's a powerful, not just a component of how we manage supply chains in this day and age, but it's in demand. Everybody wants more visibility, whether you're managing supply chains or whether you're a consumer. Ordering a pizza, you want to know exactly what stage it's in. It's amazing.
Is the pepperoni on there yet?
That's right.
Where is it? When's it going to get here?
Exactly. Absolutely. So tell us more about IntelliTrans and your role.
Yeah, so IntelliTrans is a wholly owned subsidiary of a publicly traded company called Roper Technologies. So we've got some interesting sister businesses, DAT Solutions, the largest load board in North America, and its kind of other sister, Link Logistics in Canada, as well as TransCore, the largest provider of RFID solutions to the transportation industry. So it's really great to be a part of that family. You know, I describe our company as a technology-enabled transportation management services company. And that allows us to leverage both technology and people and process to help our customers achieve benefits in the supply chain. So we've got about 200 customers globally, most of them manufacturing organizations, like Georgia-Pacific here in town, or Southern Company, the power company for the Southeast, are both customers of ours. And when I describe, we really do four things. One is that visibility. Where's my stuff? When's it going to get here? What's the current condition of it? And providing proactive notifications around things that are going wrong. We also provide shipment execution solutions, inventory management solutions, and a variety of services that augment all those technologies to help our customers out, whether it is operational execution services, like helping with dispatching of freight or auditing of freight bills, all the way through logistics cost out consulting. And we really kind of operate on a few different principles. Mm-hmm. One is, if you're doing shipment visibility, you've got to track everything. Because otherwise, that one shipment that might be late, if it's one of the ones that you're not tracking, what do you do?
That one exception, right? One exception will just nip at your heels, and it's the one that's going to bite you.
Yep. Yeah. And so that's one of the best practices we talk about, is people having visibility to everything so they can know when something goes wrong. The other thing is making sure that everything's got complete, timely, accurate data, which seems like kind of a duh kind of moment, but you'd be surprised how many people don't focus on that. And in some cases, unfortunately, that still requires manual solutions to go get that data.
Really?
You know, because you wish everything was coming through the Internet of Things and, you know, web services or EDI messages and things like that. But in some cases, the provider of the transportation management services may not be able to provide that for you. Okay. And if they're not technically capable of doing that, you still got to know where the shipments are. So what do you do? And things like that.
Yep.
And so we try to do three things for our customers: provide proactive customer service to their customers, to automate their business processes, and then to help them take 3-6% out of their transportation spend.
Wow. That's a big number.
Yeah. And, you know, if you look at a lot of our customers in the manufacturing industry, if you look at their top line, say their revenue, if you multiply that by about 10%, that's about what they're spending on transportation and logistics. Hmm. And so if you're taking 3-6% out of 10% of their income statement, has a significant impact on the profitability and performance of the business.
I would argue that most executives, if you told them, him or her, hey, I'm going to save you 0.5%, you know, they'd be doing cartwheels in many cases. But so 3-6, especially when you're dealing with the companies, what I've gathered from some of the folks I do business with, these are large companies spends.
Yeah, some of our customers move 50,000 trucks and 15,000 rail cars in a single month. Mm. So they have, you know, billions of dollars in transportation spend.
Okay.
Sold.
I like that. All right. So so let's jump. So appreciate y'all sharing a little more about who you are and your organizations and what you do. Let's talk more about the industry. What's going on in the industry from a trends and challenges standpoint right now? Mm-hmm. So, you know, and what these manufacturing leaders, supply chain leaders are dealing with. So let's talk with all of that, as we've already touched on a couple of times, supply chain visibility, because that is really in demand. We, Malcolm and the research team here at Supply Chain Now Radio, uncovered this Deloitte Global CPO study 2018, which one of its chief findings was that just 6% of its survey participants had full transparency of their entire supply chain. Now, that's a those 6%ers are getting it done, because that is tough to do, especially my hunch is that these are not small players. So congrats to them. I'm sure they're not sitting on their laurels, but that's fantastic. But a whopping 65% of the participants had limited visibility, which is probably more than average, or none at all, which is a scary thought. So, Lauren Sill, I'm bringing you back in. If you can speak to the importance of supply chain visibility in 2019.
Yep. So I'll piggyback off the two of those facts you just gave, Scott. I was reading an article recently, and they mentioned that 80% of most companies' supplier network activity happens outside of their four walls. And if you really sit back and think about most supply chains, that's not really off base. Once you factor in raw materials, packaging, transportation, the manpower that you outsource, there are very few companies that have supply chains where they have the majority of the control.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So when I look at supply chain visibility, I really look at four, I guess, key points or takeaways for me that it really will help. Number one, customer satisfaction, right? You have improved visibility, which can lead to better service levels if a company knows the state of production and inventory at all times.
Yep.
Very important. Number two, inventory management, right? The markets we're in now are very dynamic. Mm. They require strategic inventory management and need the flexibility to scale as demand grows as well. The third thing is cost, right? We all know how important cost is. Transparency helps optimize the use of resources and decrease overall costs. And the fourth thing that's near and dear to my heart really is risk management, right? Manufacturers can identify potential risks and mitigate these challenges as they arise. Improved oversight helps dial potential fires in the supply chain. As I talk about risks, one challenge that I deal with daily, right, it's been given to me by my leadership team, is doing a better job of mitigating and understanding risk before it's an issue, right? I used to pride myself on having a team of people, including myself, that could put out fires with the best of them, right? Handling any challenge that came our way. We were the best firefighters you can find in the supply chain, right? But in today's business climate, I think it's a little different. I was thinking about it earlier. We probably need more Smokey the Bears. I'm probably dating myself a little bit here by talking about Smokey the Bear, right?
Yeah.
But you all know Smokey the Bear.
Oh, yeah.
His job was to prevent forest fires before they happen, right? You'll always need firefighters, no doubt, right? No doubt you'll need firefighters. But the Smokey the Bears, I think, was the biggest trend right now. And I think supply chain visibility helps that, right? If you can have the visibility to understand where a potential disruption might surface ahead of time, the chances of them causing problems are greatly reduced. That's where expectations are changing compared to before, where firefighters were held in more and more regard.
Yep.
Also, in today's business climate, I think the name of the game, and I think it's changing, as I said before, is having speed, agility, and responsiveness to customers' demands. When you have real-time data at your fingertips, you don't need to sit back and wait for anything to point you towards your next move, right? You are more in control of the outcome, and you have that agility to pivot as the business needs. And I'll just give one quick example of business intelligence and how that supply chain visibility can help. As you mentioned before, your kids know about the Elmer's glue. I'm assuming it's from the slime trend.
It's from their diet, I think.
Oh, that could happen too. Does your kids play with slime during that big trend?
Oh, yeah.
Know about the slime trend?
I know about the slime.
All right. So as you know, Elmer's is one of the main ingredients in slime trend.
Right.
And it pretty much came out of nowhere, really. It was just a few YouTube videos. Next thing you know, it's the biggest trend in the world at
the
time. And I remember, another story I remember, like it was yesterday. It was Friday night. I was late in the office on a Friday night, and it was a sales guy there. And, you know, with it being a big trend, the sales guy's phones were blowing up. And the sales guy grabbed me, pulled me to a conference room, and said, "Hey, this guy wants to talk about inventory." I was, okay, I know inventory. That's not the problem. I can help answer those questions.
Yep.
But the questions he asked, I had never asked before. right? I had never heard asked before, should I say. He almost wanted to know how many containers you had to port in China. If it's going by the Sea of Japan, how many are passing Japan right now? I was like, man, this guy's really, for a marketing guy, he's got some pretty tough questions, right? So those type of questions he asked. Now, granted, if you let me go back to my desk, give me a few minutes to, you know, look at my freight forwarders, look at some of my ocean carriers' data, I can give him an answer. But he wanted an answer to a specific question immediately, right? So imagine, you know, things are constantly changing. That supply chain visibility, I could have had him an answer within 30 seconds of him asking a question. Now, granted, it doesn't take me long to get the answer, but they want it immediate. Don't even go back to your desk and look it up. Tell me right now, how many containers are going past the Sea of Japan? I thought he was being facetious, but he was serious. I'm like, he really wants to know. So, again, that's why that supply chain visibility is near and dear to my heart, because I've seen it in action. I've seen how our customers, your end customers, are expecting you to have that visibility at all times.
Yeah, that expectation has changed across the board. I mean, you know, we keep talking about the Amazon effect and everything that we do. You know, the manufacturers, it's just, you know, manufacturers across the board might not have been thinking about, you know, the impact that supply chain has on them, but building that supplier resource, you know, for all of the the raw goods that are coming to you, if you don't have access to that, man, it's a tough spot.
It is.
Absolutely. I love the Smokey the Bear.
Yeah.
I love when folks can take a concept and cause everyone can understand Smokey the Bear and what his main message was. That I never thought of that, so that's genius. I'm going to take that, and I'll owe you some commissions on
some
highway.
I think you just have to recognize him three times as you say it, then it's yours.
Donate to the diaper fund, too. That's acceptable.
So let's bring Ken back into the conversation, because I'm sure you can relate to a lot of what Lauren Sell just shared there. So let's start with just your general observations as it whether it relates to some of the challenges that Lauren Sell just spoke to and some of what you're seeing. Or if you want to, we can go ahead and transition into what companies are doing with some of what he's already shared. What, Ken, where do you want to start?
Yes, I'll start with the first part of that, because what Lauren Sell is describing is not unusual. You know, the expectations in the market are really kind of driven by two forces. One is the Amazonization, if that's a word, of the expectations, right? If I buy my son, you know, a toy for $7 off of Amazon and I can see where it is in the whole process, I should be able to see where my 48,000 pound of plastic pellets is coming to me that's worth, you know, $50,000.
Right.
So there's that expectation. The other thing that's happened that Lawrence was alluding to is that as the economy's gone up and down about eight times since World War II, every time it goes down, companies take out inventory and they reduce people. Then when it comes back, they bring inventory and people back, but never as much as they had before. So now companies are left with just enough inventory to be able to run their operation and just enough people at the dock to be able to receive a truck. So when I was running the supply chain for the sheet and film business, if I got it there day of, for the most part, other than a few high-end customers, I was okay. So Tuesday used to be okay. Now it's Tuesday between 8 and 8:30. And so you talked about us providing shipment visibility for 25 years and starting in rail. It's because the transit times there are longer and more variable, so it always had an impact on what was going on. Now that you're trying to hit a window that's half an hour wide, the variability in transit time in truck relative to the size of that window are just as significant as it was in rail in 92 when we started. And so you've got those two effects kind of coming on that you have to help people deal with. And that visibility that we're talking about is not just in transit that a lot of people focus on. It's, you know, has the order been made? Has the container coming in to pick up the shipment even in-gated at the manufacturer's facility? Has it outgated? Then has it gotten in transit? So how do I deal with all of that? And then, pardon me, what a lot of folks have to do to be able to deal with that visibility is specify to the providers of transportation services the behavior they want them to exhibit. You know, so for example, I want a status message on where the shipment is, if it's, say, a truck, you know, every 30 minutes. And I want it within 10 minutes of when that event occurred. And I want delivery confirmations on every load. Then, you know, it's incumbent upon the providers of technology like ourselves to say, okay, now how do I help you fulfill those business objectives? So I might do ELD connectivity. I might do REST services. I might do EDI. You know, I might go to an ocean portal to get the ocean data, so on and so forth. But be able to provide that solution across all modes, you know, and across the whole supply chain is critical. That's why, you know, that 6% have complete visibility, because it's a very daunting task.
Huge.
And so that's really what we've been trying to work with our customers on, is how do we make sure they have visibility to everything? And then how do you provide proactive notifications? I'd like to make, you know, some of the stuff we talk about very personal.
Yep.
So if you talk about getting some work done in your home, whether it's cable installation, you know, manufacturing, you know, of your new kitchen installation, things like that, you know, you'll talk to the provider and they'll say, I'll be there Tuesday morning. And so you rearrange your work schedule so you can be home Tuesday morning and move all your meetings to the afternoon. And then invariably what happens is they call at about 11:55 and say, hey, the schedule is full today. We'll be there at 3:00. Is that okay? And what are you going to do? You can't like reschedule for another day, because that's even more painful than just dealing with 3:00. So you call up Lawrence Cell and say, hey, boss, you know, I'm not going to be on the call because we've got this guy's coming in at this time, blah, blah, blah. If they had called the night before and said the schedule looks full for tomorrow, chances are it's not going to be the morning. It's going to be mid-afternoon.
Yeah.
The reality is still the same.
Yep.
The shipment, the delivery is, you know, not in the morning. It's at 3:00 in the afternoon. It's your ability to deal with it. And so that proactive notification is really key as to what you're looking for. And when we say shipment visibility, it's not literally visibility, because I bet on, you know, Lawrence L's business, he's got, you know, thousands of inbound shipments and thousands of outbound shipments. You literally can't look at thousands of things. So you have to have the ability to take all that data in and say, what are the exceptions and the ones that I need to deal with, and get that far enough in advance that you can solve that problem with the lowest cost solution possible. That's really what supply chain visibility is all about, is that management of the risks and the ability to deal the best you can with a difficult situation that presents itself every day, whether it's, you know, carrier failing, weather, port strikes, whatever it is, you know, stuff happens, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
So it sounds like digital Smokey the Bear.
Exactly.
This episode of Supply Chain Now Radio is brought to you by Apex Atlanta, an association for supply chain management organization. Apex Atlanta provides supply chain thought leadership, networking, and certification opportunities for supply chain professionals. Consider getting involved with Apex Atlanta as a volunteer or general guest. Student memberships are free and the networking opportunities are numerous. Supply chain certification workshops can be delivered at your offices and are also offered through a partnership with Georgia Tech's Supply Chain and Logistics Institute. In 2019, CSCP and CLTD workshops are offered in a 2.5-day boot camp format in June and October. Whether you're interested in better understanding inventory management and planning fundamentals, end-to-end supply chain management concepts, or logistics, transportation, and distribution, Apex Atlanta has something for you. For more information on the workshops, the certifications, or area networking opportunities, check out apexatlanta.org or send a note to info@apexatlanta.org.
So let's talk about one specific component of the end-to-end supply chain, and specifically the front end, right?
Yep.
Material side. So what? So Ken, and we're talking with Ken Sherman with IntelliTrans and Lawrence L. Hyman with Newell Brands here on Supply Chain Now Radio, the Today in Manufacturing show. So what benefits can manufacturers gain by being able to have visibility on inbound raw materials, Ken?
Yeah, so on the inbound side, you have to think of it as the benefit that your customer is receiving when you're providing that visibility to them and what their expectations are. So if you don't have that visibility to the inbound raw material, then you have to start doing things to manage the risk of supply, which means you're going to end up having too much inventory. You could have, you know, higher cost modes of transport to do deliveries if something doesn't show up and you thought it was going to. You have to develop, you know, risk mitigation plans and things like that. So the entire cost of the inbound supply chain gets more expensive. That may not be a cost that you pay directly, but it would manifest itself in the price of the materials that you're buying. So some way, shape, or form, the consignee always pays for it. It's just a matter of how that manifests itself to that company.
Someone's going to pay for it, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And when you have what I heard you say there, Ken, and both of y'all touched on this, is you know, if we know what we're dealing with, especially like to your point, Ken, the night, at least the night before, you know, we can create options and we can manage everything else we've put in place to deal with what the scenario we thought we were going to have, how that's changed, right?
Yep.
But being able to have advanced notice of these things so that we can have these options and we can you know, make some decisions that don't put other aspects of the operation or money at risk, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It sounds like, you know, back to, you know, when we talk about, you know, what succeeds in business, and I believe in business and in relationships, you know, is communication's key. You know, if you don't have your suppliers, if you don't have clear communication for them, what your expectations are and what their expectations are, if you don't have that clarity and that transparency and communication, man, it's tough. Yeah. I mean, I don't, you know, these statistics blow me away. 65% don't have that. How can you run, you know, how can you successfully run a business? I mean, you may have warehouses full of raw materials that you might not need for, you know, 3 months.
Right.
Like you said, that cost gets passed along. So as manufacturers, you got to make sure you keep that
transparency. It's important for the manufacturers to have some control of that, because otherwise you're going to deal with thousands of suppliers who have different technologies that you're dealing with. And so how do you check 1,000 different places to see what might be wrong? Mm. So having it all consolidated into a single, what we refer to as a control tower for inbound and outbound, allows you to manage the whole business better.
Mm. I also think that the biggest thing to me that's changing is customer expectations.
Ah,
right. I noticed that before, when I first started, I wasn't as close to it. I was in packaging, obviously, but we knew problems were coming, but the communication between us and the customer wasn't as forthcoming.
Right. Okay.
Right. Over the years, I believe our customers, it might be the Amazon effect, right? Mm-hmm. Where I can go on my app right now and see where my kid slime is at.
$7 toy that kid talked
about.
Right.
But your customer expectations are for you to tell them up front before it happens.
Right.
Right. We've had customer communication where they weren't happy about it, but they were able to mitigate their plans downstream.
Right.
Once you told them what was about to happen, they appreciate that more. So that supply chain visibility that your company can provide, or anyone can get that supply chain visibility, is huge.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to Randy Jackson. Randy Jackson was the CAO, of Chief Administrative Officer of Kia. And, you know, I mean, and he passed away a couple of years ago. Wonderful guy. I mean, one of the coolest guys I've ever met on the planet. And Randy and I were talking. I said, you know, sitting around drinking beer, and I said, dude, what is it, of all the stuff you got to worry about, what is the biggest challenge that you have? He said, well, about 40% of the materials that went into these Kias was coming from Korea, and there was a 6-month window from the time it was produced in Kia, gets on the boat, gets over to the port. And he said it is the 4.5 hours from Savannah to my door. Now, Kia runs and builds their vehicles on a just-in-sequence manufacturing. Not just in time, but just in sequence, because they'll roll in a blue Sorento and a red Optima and now a green Telluride back-to-back-to-back. Mm. And so they don't have – they got 4 hours of inventory. Imagine. And they roll out a car every 57 seconds.
Yep.
Wow. They don't have warehouses. It is fascinating to see. And one, I mean, you know, somebody asked me years ago, they said, what's the most important part of a car? Scott, what do you think the most important part of a car is?
I've always thought steering wheel or the brake.
Steering wheel or brake. What do you think?
I would say the motor. I'm a Chevy guy.
Chevy guy. Okay.
What I would say the engine as well.
Okay. Actually, if you back it back down, the most important part of any car is the part that's missing.
Mm. There you go.
Think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have the greatest car in the world, but if you're missing some brakes, right, that's pretty important. Yep. What about a steering wheel? You know, if you're missing a steering wheel, that's the thing about supply chain. The most important part of any Kia is the one piece that's not there that shuts that line down. Mm. Right. And with that tight of time frame, 4.5 hours of inventory.
Mm. We and Jason, I think you're speaking to something, because, you know, back in the 80s, where there was arguably a lot more fat in the equation, and you could absorb, you know, times. I mean, folks were just approached it differently. These days, you know, one of the reports that the Gartner Top 25 talked about is how much we've shifted over as an industry to that demand driven, tighter time. You know, Ken, you spoke to the shrinking window, and no longer can you afford, you know, a shipment to get here a week later. You know, I mean, you're looking literally by the minutes. So speak to that, how the industry, maybe, you know, Lawrence Sell or Ken, speak to how the industry has really shifted what I'll call the acceptable tolerances of delivery times, and how we are managing to the minute more than ever before.
Yep. So I guess I'll lead off. Yeah. So, yeah, we see a lot of that. The consumer expectations, you know, the radical changes that have come in terms of how we buy stuff. Like, I think I get a box in my house from Amazon just about every day. It's like a daily delivery process.
Just one?
Yeah, well, yeah, sometimes two. And sometimes they come in different modes, right? Sometimes it's postal service. Sometimes it's one of the actual Amazon trucks. That expectation then kind of moves itself back. Mm. And as that comes back, it raises the bar for everybody. And a lot of our customers are way back from the consumer. So they get what's called the bullwhip effect of the supply chain very pronounced, where they've got customers that will change orders because consumer demand, you know, back to that six-month lead time for the Kia parts.
Yep.
You know, if consumer trends change and all of a sudden you need a black cover for your Starbucks coffee instead of white, that comes all the way back and changes orders, changes manufacturing schedules, changes all that stuff, so that they've got to be very responsive to that. And it's no longer acceptable basically to say no.
It really isn't.
And so you've got to find ways to be able to deal with that change at the front, which will be amplified by a factor of 10 by the time it gets back to the chemical supplier that supplies to the plastic supplier that supplies to the lid manufacturer that sends it to Starbucks that gets into your hands.
So I got to make a little Apex commercial here, because as a longtime Apex or now ASCM member and being CSCP certified, the bullwhip effect is one of the key things you learn as a certified supply chain professional, because you know, in this day and age, you make one little small little decision here, and all of a sudden it ripples out, and then you know, a couple of organizations are nodes down. I mean, it's huge, massive repercussions is maybe a working person's definition. Lawrence Sell, you're going
to
add to that.
To your point, thinking about bullwhip, from my seat, those delays that we see that we don't know about, it plays a lot in my role, because at the end of the day, I have an inventory number that I'm responsible for.
Right.
So if I have that variance in delivery schedule or I don't know when it's going to come, the only way I can mitigate that is by adding more inventory. Right. And that's something that any public company, any company, number one, no, especially one a public company, right, where they're looking at your OI and your bottom line every quarter to see where you're ending at and how it can affect your share price.
Right.
Because that's a long way. You wouldn't necessarily think about that sometime, right?
Like,
I was late a week.
Right.
How does that affect the share price of my company?
Absolutely.
It affects it because I have to add more inventory. Now I have a higher inventory number, a higher working capital number, because I can't rely on good data and good delivery times from my vendors.
Well, so speaking of inventory here, because everyone is trying to figure out how to have less and less these days, Mark Preston, a good friend of GMA and certainly the show, used to tell his classes as he'd run trainings that think of inventory as milk. And, you know, once it starts to go bad, you can't sit there forever. You don't want to accumulate a ton of it because you got a very, you know, short lifespan here. But if more organizations thought of their inventory as milk, we'd have a lot better inventory management these days. So, and a lot maybe better smelling warehouses. I don't know. But, Ken, were you going to add an additional comment there?
So the other thing that we've seen happening in particular certain segments of the marketplace is the aging of the workforce, particularly in the rail side. And so what we see happening is that a lot of that knowledge is retiring. And so what that's been, you know, pressing us and other folks like us to do is really two things. One is, how do you embed that knowledge into the technology that you're providing so that people don't have to know all the nuances of the rule? They get a notification saying you have to do this to this asset at this time. Then the other thing that our customers are asking for is training. And I don't necessarily mean just training on our stuff. It's training on how does rail work? How does truck work? You know, how do you do mode consolidation and conversion and things like that? So that we help bring people up, you know, into this to be successful at their companies.
So speaking of rail, and we talked earlier about the precision scheduled railroading, and I would, you know, Norfolk Southern is not the only railroad company looking at doing things like that, right? Speak to how IntelliTrans or just similar platforms that offer that visibility, how it's allowing companies to, be able to deal with some of these continuous improvement initiatives that the railroad industry is going through.
Yeah. So if you look at what the railroads are doing, you know, as I tell people, you know, if you came in from Mars, this is how you would think a railroad would run. I take MARTA every day to work, and it's how it runs. if I'm not there at about 7:56, I'm not making the 7:59 train, and they do not hold it for me.
Right.
You got that worked out for them.
I got it pretty much worked out. I know if I leave my house at 7:25, I'm good to go. And so what they're doing makes a lot of sense. What they're asking their customers to do is take inventory out of the rail network and put it somewhere else so that you can do things like reduce dwell time. If NS has, a yard that's got capacity for 1,500 cars, and instead of having, 1,200 there, they have 900 there, cars can flow through faster, reducing that dwell time. And then because they can handle the operations more efficiently, they can improve the average train speed. The challenge for our customers is then, what do I do? Because those rail cars were stored out in the rail network before. What if I don't have space in my yard? And then if I need to create space, do I even have a big enough land mass to be able to put in additional tracks and things like that? So that's why it's kind of contentious in the shipper community around the changes we're making. Not that it doesn't make sense, but as I like to say, what we're trying to do is change about 150 years of learned behavior in 150 days.
Right.
And so that's one of the things we try to help our customers with is this all makes a lot of sense, but how do we implement it and not just push bubbles in the supply chain, just from one location to another? How do we make the bubble go away?
Sure. It seems like shippers have a lot more leverage than they've had in previous decades. And whether you're talking rail or you're talking truck, you're talking whatever, they know there's limited capacity. And so it seems like to me, and I'll ask the folks making decisions day in and day out, you've got to be able to deal with them and treat them as an equal shareholder, right? And accommodate, while you're always a customer and because you're the shipper, but still, there's much more demand for even-handedness in the partnerships and in the relationships. Would you agree with that? Is that what you're seeing, Larnsell?
I would definitely agree. I know, just for us with the recent ELD mandate that came out right now, my family has a background in commercial transportation, so I give them a hard time about this because they say they say the rules change. I'm like,
no, the rules
are the same.
The rules didn't change.
It's the enforcement officer.
Right, we're just checking it a little different.
Right. Yeah. So what we're seeing is we're starting to see we have to partner with them a lot closer now, right, to understand what their trucker capacity is and understand if I need something expedited from the port instead of going on the rail, do you have that availability? Before, it wasn't even a question. It was let's get it expedited from the port. Now we have to call and make sure, that they have that trucker capacity to deliver for our needs.
So one thing, if you want to dig in just a little bit about ELD, I understand it, but just, from your vantage point, we'll have a lot of manufacturers that'll be listening to the show today and some folks that don't really understand as much as, some of the folks at the table here do. Tell us a little bit about ELD and how that has impacted or what feedback you've been getting. So what is ELD and then what is that doing in the supply chain?
So basically, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you're probably more the expert, but from what I've understood is ELD is now that every driver that drives a commercial vehicle has to have a log, unless he's local. If he's like within 100-mile radius, he doesn't need a log, right? But anything outside of that driver should have a log.
Okay.
And anytime truck drivers only have 11 hours of driving time per day before they have to rest for 8 hours.
Okay.
Right? So this used to be done on paper.
So this is a driver log.
A driver log.
The old drive. So it was on paper. That the truck driver just had in his truck.
Yes.
Okay. Now it's all, hence the acronym,
electronic logging device. So now, not saying that people would necessarily change their paper logs, right? But now, with the enforcement of the electronic log, you can't change that. So if I have a shipment that's supposed to get there in 11 hours and 30 minutes, maybe before I have to worry about it too much not getting there the same day. Now, that's a two-day shipment.
That's a two-day shipment.
Before, it was a one-day.
So then they have to either have 2 days or two team drivers.
Yep,
or, wow. Yep. So that'll impact
the
cost of shipping.
So what we saw was that the capacity in the network, so our sister company, DAT, publishes these load-to-truck ratios, and they went absolutely haywire. So like flatbed is typically, say, between 10 and 20. It went over 100.
Jeez.
Because people didn't know what to do about it. But then it calmed down. A couple things happened. One was shippers adjusted their behavior to become more what's called a shipper of choice. So they would turn trucks faster.
Okay.
So because what would happen is, so for example, in the flatbed community, so we track about 2 million flatbed trucks a year.
Wow.
They would lose time for tarping their shipments. when you're doing paper logs, the driver might not think about that dwell counting. When you're on an ELD, it counts. So they may not be, quote unquote, changing the logs or cheating or whatever, but you know how you actually account for it is now much more tight.
Okay.
But then what's happened is, you know, so it sucked the capacity out of the market. And so it went haywire from like December to April when the soft and the hard implementations went in. But then the larger organizations figured out that it gave them productivity. They could charge the shippers for detention on a more automated fashion because you could see when the truck got in and got out.
So if they send a truck, sits on the dock for 2 hours, then you could charge back.
Correct. Mm-hmm. You might charge them $100 an hour in excess of the hour that was committed to or whatever your commercial deal is. So that helped improve the effectiveness of the network. And so the ELDs actually ended up having a net beneficial effect.
Really?
But it took some time to get there.
Okay.
And so it was really tough for 2018 for shippers to even get trucks. And you really had to partner with the carriers. Now the behavior is improving. Hopefully what happens is that load to truck ratio softens. The shippers don't return to the behavior that they had before.
Right. Well, and coming back the other way, I'm arguing that we need some SBLDs, shipping behavior logging devices, because while we're putting some you know constraints or some different management approaches on the transportation companies, right, and drivers, and you know, and to Lawrence Hill, like you were saying, they just want to do a good job.
Yeah.
Overwhelming majority of truck drivers or anyone in supply chain, overwhelming majority, they want to do a good job.
Right.
However, you know, we got to make sure they're safe and make sure that there's enough oversight. And we get all that. But what we're hoping, you know, many folks have been on the show, and certainly I'm a big fan of is I'm hoping that, and Ken, you were talking to some of the changes and some of the ways that companies are looking to get trucks in and out quickly rather than keeping them waiting and all that stuff. But we still have a lot more work to do. Right?
Absolutely. And so we see companies doing scorecards, you know, for years on their carriers. Now they're doing it on their sites. Yeah. How fast are they turning trucks? How much lead time are they giving the carrier to know that a shipment is going, you know, out on Tuesday? Do they tell them Monday night or do they tell them on Friday? Because the carrier's ability to schedule and sequence, because, you know, with the, you know, third-party transportation, you're participating in a network. And so the trucking company isn't sitting there necessarily waiting for you to ship something. They're coming from somewhere else.
So
their ability to deal with that is much greater. Again, the more transparency, the more proactive notifications, the better visibility you give them.
Yeah.
And if the manufacturer says the load's going to be ready at 2 o'clock and it's really not ready till about 4:30 or 5 o'clock, somebody's got to pay.
Well, exactly.
That and you know, we talk about this a lot because I think so many folks, even if you're in supply chain, this is a blind spot for you. We were with the Atlanta Regional Commission, and they have a task force on freight task force. And one of the studies that they have been involved with in the last year or two is rest time. You know, they've been talking with truck drivers and gathering a lot of data points on just how long it takes trucks that are in the Metro Atlanta area time to find a spot to honor
to park.
The windows.
Yeah.
And on average, it's been over an hour daily just to find time to pull over in a safe spot and all. And what it's led to, unfortunately, some of the things it's led to is folks kind of just making certain space make it do, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not well lit. Sometimes it's just not safe parts of the you know area and stuff. And but your average, I would argue that a lot of folks in supply chain and a lot of your consumers have no idea that truck drivers are dealing with those types of challenges that impact their ability to absorb, you know, some of these, you know, these other changes in the industry. And that's hopefully what the industry can start to address with more visibility and more information for all parties, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so, and when you're talking about, you know, the trucking industry as a whole, and, you know, we always talk about shippers and truckers and, you know, but one of the cool things I love about being in this space and seeing some of the changes is those companies, those are still people.
That's right.
There's like, you know, it's a dad or a husband driving that truck.
Absolutely.
Or
right?
a mother or a daughter.
Yeah. I mean, so having that piece connected, I think we got to keep the human element about that. One of the things that I really enjoyed was, you know, the Atlanta Supply Chain Awards to highlight the people that are making it happen. Mm. You know, we, the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance, we host a, the People of Manufacturing Awards. So we highlight the plant manager and then a frontline leader, and we've got team excellence and team operational excellence, and safety. So those are some of the areas that we highlight. But it's not about the company or the products. It's about the people.
That's right.
And the Atlanta Supply Chain Awards that was hosted, you got, you put together a
lot of great
back.
Partners.
It was really, really cool to see how, you know, it's still the people aspect. We got to make sure that we always remember, you know, whoever's on the other side of that dot or that blip on a map or on that phone call is somebody that we need to recognize and honor and appreciate.
That's
because
right,
you take one of those out of the mix, it can impact like we talked about.
Yep. Yeah.
And one of the nicest things I saw one of our customers do, who happens to be on those Gartner lists you were talking about earlier, they actually recognized drivers of the year. And it wasn't company employees. It was drivers for their transportation partners. Yeah. So they're actually recognizing drivers for different companies than their own, which is a nice touch. And so I thought that was one of the best things in that zone that you're talking about in terms of, you know, it's people behind all of this.
Well, you know, Ken, y'all with IntelliTrans, y'all work with several members of the not just the top 25 list, but also the master's list. So y'all are working with some folks making it happen. On that note, you know, so Jason, one of the coolest things about doing shows like this and building out series is the folks that come on, sometimes we get a sneak peek into the platform itself, right?
Right, yeah.
And so when we first started talking with the folks at IntelliTrans and I started kind of wrapping my head around what they do, I'm like, this is so far above my pay grade. I need an engineering degree and then some. I need to be a rocket scientist. Right. But we did a demo the other day.
Yes.
And had a sneak peek into the platform.
And fascinating.
It is so much more user-friendly than I was initially imagining. And, you know, in this day and age, when you're making quick decisions, even with all the good data, sometimes you got to hunt it down. But that really, what I saw there in the brief amount of time we were looking at the product is it's right there at your fingertips. It's very laid out in a very intuitive fashion, and you can drill down very quickly into a specific rail car, where it is, how the estimated delivery time frame has changed, and you can act so with so much more proactivity. You can be the Smokey the Bear.
There you go.
Right.
Lauren Sell, thank you. It's a dollar that hits your checking account there or something.
I'll take it.
But you know, we're kidding aside, that's how we avoid some of the huge problems that supply chain folks have been dealing with forever, right? Because we gotta get out ahead of it. Jason,
and that's, I tell you, that's one of the big things at GMA is we're always looking to try to find out the solutions. I love hanging around smart folks, you know, because I love to watch and see how people, really smart people, come up with good, solid solutions to big challenges that are out there. Stuff in a million years I would never connect to. But to see how people make those connections and provide those services, because, you know, our members, our folks here in Georgia and around the Southeast come to us and they're always looking. They're trying to figure out, is there a better way? Is there a solution out there that we hadn't found yet? And I love when there's products and services out there that will serve our members to be able to help make those connections and make those things. That's one of the big things that we'll be doing at the summit is, you know, we gather the best speakers and the best topics and industry leaders in different spaces to give them a place to collect once a year and to share and meet with each other. And we'll have a little over 1,000 people we're expecting at the summit.
October the 9th.
And that's what it's about. It's kind of sharing best practices and showing what's working. You know, we don't need a bunch of folks sitting around, you know, whining and moaning about the workforce, you know, because it's a reality. We know that there's a problem, but what we're going to do is we're going to put three manufacturing companies on the stage during the workforce training session, and we're going to talk about the responses and the successes that they've had at 12 for Life and how Kia has helped launch and been successful with Think Academy. And so we're going to talk about the different things that are working. And supply chain, Scott's actually going to host our
Trends of Track and Supply Chain.
Yeah, Trends of Track. This will be the third or fourth year, I think, that you've been that.
Kids have ruined my memory. It could be the 17th.
And we're going to be talking about the hot things that are going on in supply chain and how that impacts manufacturing.
We're going to be assembling a great panel. The GMA provides such a great event and great structure and a great ability to, you know, we're talking earlier about being able to make connections, right? Mm-hmm. Not only with folks doing it out in industry, you know, kind of the supply chain leaders of the world, but also the solution providers that offer the resources to tackle some of these age-old problems in very new 2019 ways. So on that note, so October 9th.
October 9th,
GeorgiaManufacturingAlliance.com.
Correct, yep.
And tickets, sponsorship, A lot of things are open.
Correct.
We still got some runway there.
We got
there.
A few booths. We're really low on those. We're pretty restricted space-wise in that venue, so we've only just got a couple left. So,
but there's
some opportunity there.
We'll be making some announcements related to keynote in the weeks ahead.
Yes. Right? Yes. We think we got the one of the big one inked, but we'll be rolling out some press releases.
Smokey
soon.
The Bear.
Close it.
It might be Smokey.
Hey, you know what? After today, it might just be Smokey the Bear. But
I love it.
All right. So you can learn more about that at GeorgiaManufacturingAlliance.com. Of course, we're tickled to be providing or partnering on this today, manufacturing series with Jason and GMA. Along the same lines, Ken, let's start with you. How can folks, first off, you've got some travel schedule coming up. You're going to be, there might be need to be a couple Ken Sherman clones.
Yeah, we're working on cloning in the back office along with our machine learning and other technologies.
So tell us some of the things you've got coming up.
A couple places where people can see us in person. There's a downstream petrochem conference in Houston, June 11th and 12th. We'll be there. There's a European petrochem conference, which I'll be at in Amsterdam, June 18th to the 20th. And then there's a Northeast petrochem conference in Pittsburgh about that same time, June 20th and 21st. Then if you want to do it more electronically, you can go to the IntelliTrans.com website or follow us on LinkedIn or Twitter with simply the IntelliTrans name.
You got it. And, of course, we'll make it as easy as possible for folks to plug into that with the show notes and some other thing. Appreciate your support and your sponsorship and your thought leadership here today, Ken.
Appreciate the opportunity to be here. Thank you.
You bet. All right. So, Lawrence Hill, how can folks get in touch with you?
Oh, you can find me on LinkedIn under Lawrence Hill Hyman. Lawrence Hill rhymes with Duracell, because I have to tell people sometimes to help them spell it. Or, you know, look at my company, Newell Brands, on newellbrands.com. See some of the great things we're doing.
Great. And that's two L's for folks that spell like me. newellbrands.com. Mm-hmm. So, been chatting with Ken Sherman with IntelliTrans and Lawrence Hillhama with Newell Brands. Thanks so much for y'all's time today.
Thank you.
All right, so let's wrap up on some upcoming events. Jason, of course, we talked about the Georgia Manufacturing Summit, October 9th, so mark your calendar. Registration is already open, right?
Yeah, registration's open for that.
Okay, and you can find out more information at GeorgiaManufacturingAlliance.com with some big announcements coming up related to keynote and some other things, panels and you name it.
Yes.
Before we get to the fall and football, we're proud media partners of EFTL's 3PL and Supply Chain Summit in Atlanta on June 10th through the 12th. Home run lineup of speakers from groups like Land O'Lakes, Uber Freight, Cisco, DHL Supply Chain, UPS, you name it. They got about 1,000 folks coming out, really geared at the executive level. We're going to be broadcasting live thanks to our friends at Becker Logistics. You can check them out at BeckerLogistics.com. If you're interested in the event, you can check out EFT.com, and this will all be in the show notes. Or if you can't find what you're looking for, you can shoot us a note to Scott@SupplyChainNowRadio.com. And we'll get you the information you're looking for. One of the things we're kicking off tomorrow is our full access series. So this has been in the works for a while. We initially started with She Leads, is what we coined it, and we realized out in the marketplace a lot of groups are using that phrase. So we kind of tweaked it a little bit, and we're kicking off this new series tomorrow. And our leadoff guest, our Otis Nixon of the group, is Peggy Gulick, a senior manufacturing leader that's really deep with innovation and all the great innovation that AGCO company is doing. So look for that. We're building out the schedule into August, and every week, every Thursday, we're going to be featuring a different female leader out across industry making it happen, really getting their thoughts and insights as we're all looking for ways to really move the needle when it comes to the gender gap that exists in manufacturing supply chain. So more information on that. Big thanks again to our guests today, Ken Sherman, Vice President, General Manager with IntelliTrans, Lawrence Hill Hyman, Supply Chain Manager with Newell Brands, Jason Moss, CEO, founder, and our great partner at the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance. Thank you very much for your partnership. Awesome. Be sure to check out. Did I miss anything before we? What's coming up next on the GMA front?
We have tons of events lined up. I mean, there's so many events that I can't even keep up with them. I know we're going to Jindal Films down in LaGrange later in the week. We've got tour schedule for Kia. We're laying out our Buy from Georgia month tours for consumer products that are manufactured in the state. Last year we hosted a little over 16 tours in the month of July last year, showcasing the things that are made in Georgia. Now I know this radio show goes all over the country and all over the globe.
We're trying.
But if you're interested in seeing some really cool manufacturing and plugging into the industry, our event schedule is online, and so you can check it out there.
Fantastic. And the plant tour is always one of the best things. You know, put your eyes and ears on what's going on in these facilities. All right. So to our listeners, thanks for tuning in. Big thanks to all of our partners, especially our sponsor, IntelliTrans, for today's shows, our partner, Georgia Manufacturing Alliance, for their work and partnership on this series. Be sure to check out our other upcoming events, replays of our interviews, and other resources at supplychainnowradio.com. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, all the leading sites where podcasts can be found. And be sure to subscribe so you don't miss anything. On behalf of the entire Supply Chain Now Radio team, this is Scott Luton wishing you a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you next time on Supply Chain Now Radio. Thanks, everybody.
If you're interested in advancing your career, team building exercises, or simply satisfying your intellectual curiosity, check out an APIC certification workshop at apicsatlanta.org.